Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and this is our homework class following up on the beautiful class that Tama Keeves did for us on the faith to make a leap. And I am excited to share on this topic. Tama's always an inspiration to me, and I feel so grateful to follow up and to ride on the heels of her expansive, clear sharing. Just love it. So we're going to begin with a prayer like we always do. And so I invite you to place your hand on your heart. And just as I'm going into prayer, I'm thinking of how grateful I am. Let's say a blessing and a prayer here for all the wonderful people who have made a contribution, a donation to support these free classes that we're able to offer them for free now. It's such a blessing. Free downloads of all the audios, free downloads of all the transcripts. So we're grateful. We're grateful, grateful, grateful that we can do that, and grateful because it's all made possible by people who are sharing from the overflow to support many thousands of people from all different countries, over 100 countries around the world, and that they'll have these tools to work with. And the transcripts are so important too. Obviously, the deaf cannot listen to the recordings, so they only have the transcript option, and it's wonderful that we can do that for them. And for those for whom English is a second language, they have the ability to review the transcript as well, and that's extremely helpful to them. So thank you. So grateful, so thankful to open our hearts and minds to be a blessing, to share a blessing, to receive a blessing. So grateful with our hands on our hearts to know that the love of God is all that there is and the life of God is all that there is. And we are grateful that this is our life, that the love of God is awake and alive in our heart, in our mind, now and forevermore. And we are grateful to share the healing that we're experiencing. We are grateful to share the love that we are with everyone because we are one with them. So grateful and so thankful to open ourselves to the unprecedented, unlimited flow of divine love and goodness. So grateful to say yes to the power of love active in our heart, in our mind. So grateful to allow ourselves the freedom to choose, to remember our true identity is perfect love now and forevermore. So grateful and thankful to say yes to having a strong faith, to having trust. So grateful, 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 grateful. In gratitude, We open our hearts and minds and we share the benefits with everyone. In gratitude, we open our hearts and minds and we say yes. We allow it to be. We know it's done. And so it is. Amen. 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 Woohoo! So grateful. So grateful. So grateful. Indeed. So, the faith to make a leap. So, first thing that I heard, I got inspired when Tama was talking. There were so many things I could have interrupted her 100 times and said, ooh, this, ooh, that. And that's true for a lot of the teachers that do the classes. But during the class, it's my time to listen and not to share. I have to hold it for the homework class as much as I possibly can. I do. So, because I'll have the whole class to myself. So one thing that I really felt as Tama was talking is that we practice making the leaps that build our spiritual muscle. Just like you go to the gym and you work out, you don't just work out once a month or maybe once a week. You're working out on a regular basis. You're doing things on a regular basis for self-care, for self-love. And so we do the same thing in terms of making leaps of faith. And I think it was Reverend Margaret Shepherd who was famously or infamously or whatever quoted as saying, sometimes a leap of faith is the only transportation that you have. And I would say, yes, and it's always the best transportation that we have. That leap of faith is a wonderful means of transportation from where we are to where we'd like to go. And the invitation to all of us from Spirit all of the time is to make that leap. And it's by making the leap of faith that we build that muscle. And it's very, very valuable to us to have that muscle. I realized that a long time ago and decided to put my attention on that. And because of that, I've been able to do much of what I've been able to do. It's because of my ability to trust Spirit. So I'm going to talk just a little bit here about trust and faith. And so trust is what we do in the world of time and space. Trust is an active practice of making choices. So in other words, I talked about earlier in the series how when I did the first Living A Course in Miracles, made the decision in 2010, and we did the first one in May of 2011. So I had never done anything like this ever before. And in the process of putting it all together, it was a huge amount of work. I was definitely working 60 hours a week for months, maybe more. And it was just endless making decisions of everything, all the words in the emails, all the words on the websites, the graphics, the who would do this and who would do that and how would it get done and how would it look and how would it sound, just endlessly all these pieces that we had to do. And the expense of it was $35,000 to me personally. I didn't start the nonprofit Power of Love Ministry until 2013, end of 2013, really the beginning of 2014. And so it was just all on me. It was all the $35,000 was completely out of my own pocket, really, mostly on my credit cards. And it was a leap of faith. I felt that I was divinely guided. And I'm so glad that I did it. And I was able to pay off the whole amount within a year. And a lot of it was because we sold the audios back then. We sold the transcripts. We sold the CDs and things like that. And of course, all that cost even more money to make the CDs, to have the transcripts in a book, and just all of that was far more involved than how we're doing it right now. And again, because it was all new. So it was a huge leap of faith for me. And what it required was I was making many choices throughout every single day to trust that I would be able to pay this person for their services, to trust that I would be able to pay off my credit card, to trust that I would be able to make the right decision about what to do and how to do it, even though I'd never done it before. And I make those kinds of choices and decisions all the time, to trust and to trust and to trust. And many of us are afraid to trust. I can tell you that one of the most common issues that spiritual students have is trust. And in fact, in my year-long Masterful Living course, we take many weeks of our class time going over this issue of trust and faith, because it's so foundational to our healing our life, to our healing our mind and our bodies. It's so integral to being able to even have clear intuition. It's so integral to our being prosperous and feeling prosperous. Everything is based on trust, and anyone who has studied the Manual for Teachers of A Course in Miracles, in Chapter 4, it talks about the characteristics of God's teachers, and there are the 10 characteristics of God's teachers, and the first one is trust, and it says there's you just basically, without trust, there's nothing. Everything depends on being able to place your trust in spirit. And one of the beautiful teachings of A Course in Miracles that has helped me to clearly understand trust and faith is that in every moment, whether we recognize it or not, in every single moment of every day, we are making trust choices. Again, and so many trust choices every single day. And we are trusting, we're always placing our trust in something. It's either the ego or in love, in God, in spirit, right? All love, God, spirit, all names for the same thing. Higher Holy Spirit, self, Holy Spirit, I Am Presence, all names for the same thing. So we're trusting in love, or we're trusting in the ego. And so that's every single moment of every day. So we're making these active choices, consciously or unconsciously. And so either we're choosing with spirit, or we're identified with the ego and we're choosing from that space of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. When we put our trust in the ego, we're going to learn through our experience. Often there's difficulty. Often we are learning through pain, through challenge, through suffering, through irritation and frustration, through feeling stuck and limited. When we are placing our trust in spirit, we have a different experience, because what, instead of learning through our experience, we start to remember more clearly the truth that sets us free. I really, as we're coming to a close in this series, I think one of the most helpful things for us to understand at this time is that we can learn through experience. So we can learn through experiencing loss and limitation. We can learn through experiencing upset and hurt and regret and resentment and guilt and blame and shame and all of these upsetting emotions that we experience in our human time, space bound experience. We can definitely learn that way. But as I shared the other day, the Course in Miracles is focused on saving time and our remembering our true identity, choosing the atonement for ourselves, and awakening quickly, much more quickly. So in learning through experience, we often feel stupid. We feel foolish. There's all kinds of judgment involved because the ego is our teacher in a certain sense. This, our spirit helps us to make sense of our experience and to learn through the experience. But I call it pushing density. It's the slowest way there is for us to have spiritual growth. The fastest path of our spiritual growth, which is really amazing and miraculous, is to be partnered up with the higher Holy Spirit self, the mighty I Am presence, Jesus, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, the angels, the company of heaven, the brotherhood of light, whatever name you'd like to give it to it, that we are partnered up with pure spirit, with that pure wisdom knower who knows, right? In the truly helpful prayer that we've been talking about this whole time, it says, the one who sent me will guide me. So that's the thing, is that we're of God and we're being led by the Holy Spirit, by the higher self, which is of God. So we're being led by God in every moment. And we can choose to block that or we can choose to follow it. So if we choose to be led by the ego, then we will have the experience of learning in density, in time and space. It's not much fun. And it often leads to us feeling like a failure. So the leap of faith, it is very much about being very present in the moment to the opportunities to choose love, the choices to choose love, the willingness to choose love, and to say, I'm Holy Spirit, I'm interested in the most loving choices available to me at this time. Holy Spirit, I'm really interested in choosing love and peace and harmony and joy and freedom. Holy Spirit, I'm really interested in remembering and recognizing that the highest and best for me is the highest and best for everyone. So when I make that loving choice, when I choose the highest and best for everyone, I am bringing benefit to everyone because I'm one with all. There's no way for me to choose the highest and best for me and have it not be for everyone. And that's a relief. That's a great relief because I know for myself, I used to choose ego selfishness all the time. All the time in so many ways, you know. Screw them. I need to take care of myself. You know, I mean, I really used to think thoughts like that. And now I know what's best for me is best for everyone. And so, and what's best for me feels loving. And so when I'm guided by the Spirit, I can see how it becomes the best for everyone. And I'm so grateful that that's so. So grateful that that's so. So just tuning in here to the Spirit. as I'm going. So practicing makes making little leaps or seemingly little leaps of faith. So how can we do that on a practical basis? Because I gave you an example of what to me felt like making a huge leap of faith with that first Living A Course in Miracles. You know, here's I have found here's one of the ways that we can make seemingly small leaps of faith and to really learn how to trust. When you feel irritated, when you feel frustrated, particularly if you feel impatient with another person, and or in traffic, okay? Because I used to, oh my gosh, I lived in LA for 22 years. Let me tell you, I know I could write books. They would be very boring books, but I could write books about cultivating patience while sitting in traffic in Los Angeles. And what I learned is to relax my mind, to relax my body, take a breath, place my hand on my heart, and say, Holy Spirit, I'm calling for a blessing for everybody who's sitting in this traffic with me. Let's bless everybody up and down the street. And if I saw people doing crazy things in traffic, bless them. Bless them. May they get to their place safely and soundly. And that was having trust in the Holy Spirit to take care of things. When I put my trust in the ego, what I would do would be I would think, yeah, I hope they get a speeding ticket. I hope this. I thought I knew what justice was for the people who were behaving crazy in traffic. But when my mind was opening more and I was willing to put my trust in spirit, I knew I didn't know what was best for anyone. I often don't even know what's best for me. Of Course in Miracles, in the workbook, Jesus tells us, you don't even know what's going to make you happy, so stop thinking that you do, because you don't. I was so glad when I read that, and I could realize, oh, he's so right, he knows me, he's my friend, Jesus is a friend of mine. So the little leaps that we make to bless people instead of curse them, the leaps that we make, let's say you're standing in line at the Starbucks or at the grocery store and there's somebody ahead of you that is just there, maybe they're being belligerent, maybe they're just being what seems like obnoxious, that's of course a judgment, you know, or they're doing something that's very time consuming, they're asking, you know, what are the ingredients and everything? It's like, oh, we got a long line here. It's just coffee, you know, is what people are thinking. In that moment, it actually is a leap of faith to say, Holy Spirit, bless us all. Let us look around this room and know that we are blessed. How blessed are we? You know, right now, every day on my mind, so much is blessing the people of Puerto Rico who have been without water and electricity now for quite some time. And that's got to be so challenging for them. And imagine if you didn't have any running clean, good water. And you didn't have electricity. And what if you were caring for someone who was sick and you're trying to prepare them food and there's no food showing up in the grocery stores? And if you can't, how can you pay for it? If you need to pay for it by credit card, there's no electricity because you don't have any cash because you didn't get cash out of the bank before the electricity went out, right? How are you going to transpire all these things that you need to do to care for your children and your people who are unwell? So being able to stand in faith and say, I don't know how it's going to unfold. I don't know how the needs will be met, but I do know that Spirit knows all that's required for my happiness, for my safety, for my health, for the harmony, for the good of all. So I'm going to trust that my needs are going to be met in the next 5 minutes, in the next hour, according to the highest and best for all. And so when we feel impatient, when we feel frustrated, when we feel irritated, when we feel afraid, when we're doubtful, we can move into that kind of a space and practice trust throughout the day. I have a perhaps a different way of explaining faith. And so in the Bible, it says that faith is a belief in things not seen. Faith is a belief in things not seen. And in my experience, I describe faith as knowing that I'm one with God, that I'm part of God, and that God is pure love, and that the infinite mind of God, the pure love of God, that I am, that is God, knows everything that I need and is providing for me. That's faith. It's the knowing that I am loved, I'm cared for, I'm provided for. That to me is faith. It's the knowing. It's the absolute assurance. And my life has shown me, and Spirit has shown me, that when I trust Spirit, not the ego, when I place my trust in Spirit, I am remembering that knowledge of God. So I have come to understand faith as knowing the truth about God. The truth sets us free, remember that? So my practice of trusting Spirit moment by moment uncovers the knowledge that I already have about the nature of God and God's love for me. Our putting trust in the ego is, conversely, covering up or blocking that knowledge of God's love for me. So every time I place my trust in Spirit, I'm opening my mind to the truth that sets me free. Every time I place my trust in the ego, I'm hiding my awareness of the truth that sets me free. Once I saw that is how life is, that's how this illusion operates, I made the commitment I would rather uncover the truth than hide it, because the truth sets me free. And indeed, I know that to be true because I've experienced it so often. And as A Course in Miracles tells us, and I don't hear many people talking about it, but to me it's one of the most helpful things that A Course in Miracles tells us and alerts us to, is that we can learn through experience, which is usually painful. And if you read the trust section in the Manual for Teachers, the development of trust section, chapter 4 of the Manual for Teachers, it's just not even 2 pages. That section, Development of Trust, in Chapter 4, I encourage all the folks in Masterful Living and Finding Freedom to read it every day for a week, contemplate it every day for a week, and then once a week after that, always going back to it because trust is the foundation of the awakening awareness of the teacher of God. So for me, this teaching in A Course in Miracles that we can learn through experience, which is usually painfully experienced, or we can remember the truth that sets us free. We can recognize or recognize the truth that sets us free. Because the truth has always been the truth. The truth does not get modified. The truth is not like, oh, they've got more truth and I've got less truth. We have more or less awareness of truth, but we all have full access if we're willing to choose it. So, and the truth is liberation because it awakens us from the dream. When we know the truth, we're waking up from the dream of separation. So the truth is so valuable to us in terms of ending our suffering. But, you know, if we're looking at anyone, including ourselves, and judging and complaining and criticizing, we're just declaring. It's like wearing a sign that says, truth be damned, I love my opinions. I'm going to choose pain and suffering instead of awakening and joy. So this is the thing about the faith to make a leap. The faith to make a leap is within us. It's the faith to have miraculous, spontaneous healing. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and it is a shift in our mind. This is what A Course in Miracles tells us right in the beginning with the miracle principles, that our mind is the mind of God, that we are one with God, we are of God, we are not separate from God, we all share the one mind. And so that's a fact. It tells us right away in the miracle principles that a miracle is a shift in our awareness, that we are thinking clearly with the mind of God. So we're now thinking thoughts that are true. So when we are extending love to ourselves, to our brothers and sisters, then we are miracle-minded. And then because our mind is thinking thoughts that are loving, we're thinking thoughts that are true, we're going to diminish the amount of energy that we expend in learning through our experience. Now we're going to be remembering. Now we're going to be waking up. Now we're going to be recognizing the truth. And so we'd be making decisions that are far more effective and with a lot less struggle in them. This is the thing that I've seen in my life through an active practice of living A Course in Miracles, is that my peace doesn't get disturbed very much. If it does, it's very short-lived because I go to the Holy Spirit to resolve it. Rather than trying to figure it out in time and space, I go to the Comforter, the Great Comforter, the Knower Who Knows, the Holy Spirit, the Higher Self, the I Am Presence. And I put spirit in charge. If I'm trying to figure things out from a limited understanding, trying to do it on my own without help from spirit, it's going to feel very dense. It's going to feel very difficult. It's going to feel challenging. It's going to feel laborious. That density, the intensity of density, I call it. And as soon as it starts feeling laborious and dense, that's how I know I've placed my trust in the ego. So what's called for is to place my trust in spirit. And that's what feels like a leap of faith. So when I'm trying to understand anything, because I used to, my mind, I've got, you know, everybody's got their different personality traits. One personality trait of many Course in Miracles students is the analytical mind. That's part of why Jesus gave us A Course in Miracles in the way that he did so that the analytical mind would value the process of trying to figure out what he's saying, because it's so cryptic in some places. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people in places. You know, in a lot of places, he talks like Yoda. You know, think ye not that, right? And by the way, I do think that George Lucas got the voice of Yoda from certainly from the Holy Spirit, and possibly from A Course in Miracles. I remember seeing a photo of George Lucas from a long time ago, and he had a bookshelf behind him, and on that book was Ernest. On that bookshelf was Ernest Holmes' Science of the Mind. I would not be surprised if he had studied A Course in Miracles, and maybe he got that "Think ye not" stuff for Yoda from A Course in Miracles. At any rate, certainly George Lucas, very intuitive, and the nature of the Star Wars series, and even to some degree Indiana Jones series, very much in that sort of epic Shakespearean morality tales and drama. Anyway, there's my screenwriter, playwriter love of story coming in. Just taking a breath here and listening. I'm going to take a sip of my spiritual espresso while I'm at it. So, when we're trying to understand anything and we're analyzing it, that's what the ego does. The ego analyzes. And that's, so people often will quote that, the ego analyzes, to try and discern. But the spirit already knows. There's nothing that the spirit doesn't already know. Not one thing. Including what people are likely to do. There's no part of our human experience that spirit doesn't already know, because it's already been written. So when we're trying to figure it out and to understand it, like, oh, I'm trying to understand, why would my boyfriend do that? Why is he, what is he thinking? Doesn't make any sense. Why is he doing that? Why is he treating me that way? Why is he whatever? All the, you know, why is my boss doing that? You know, why is my neighbor doing that? Why is my child doing that? Whatever it is that we're trying to puzzle out. You know, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? All these kinds of puzzles that the ego is trying to puzzle out and analyze. I tell you, if I could, sometimes I think if I could teach just a few things to the whole world to bring world peace, that one of them, this is not the first one, but one of them would be, please stop trying to understand everything. Try to just stop trying to understand anything and everything. Give up trying to understand every little thing about life. And just go right to spirit and say, I'd like to know the truth about this. I'd like to know the absolute truth about this. Instead of trying to understand it, just be willing to know, to remember, to recognize the truth about it. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us in a way that's helpful and that saves time. One of the biggest challenges for many spiritual students is they constantly think they don't have enough time. They don't have enough time for spiritual practice. They don't have enough time to enjoy life. They don't have enough time to make money and be a spiritual student. Well, I certainly used to have that bugaboo just chasing me down, hunting me down every day. Not enough time, not enough time, not enough time. I don't think that way anymore because I put my trust in Spirit. And Spirit showed me there's plenty of time. You just have to make the choices that save time. And that's how I learned that spiritual practice saves time. Once I really said, okay, I get it. Spiritual practice saves time. I don't believe it, but I'm willing to prove it so that I'll know it. So Spirit, show me that spiritual practice saves time. And Spirit showed it to me 10 different ways from Sunday, and now I know it. So I don't wonder about it, and I don't worry about time anymore. That was a great relief. I used to be stressed out about time all the time. Talk about a time suck, worrying about not enough time, managing and coping with not enough time. That's just a wonderful way to spin around and waste time. And you see, Spirit showed me the way out of that hellishness. And it used to be such a burden, not enough time. So we have to be willing to give the burdens to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can solve our problems and give us the answer. We don't have to find the answer. We don't have to learn through time and space. We don't have to understand anything because we're one with God. We're of God. Everything that needs to be known, it's known by us if we're willing to remember and recognize it. So we're going to practice making leaps to build the spiritual muscle to make larger leaps. And we practice making the small leaps by placing our trust in Spirit and recognizing that when we feel uncomfortable, when we feel tired, when we feel challenged, where's our trust? You're going to find every time that you don't feel good, your trust is in the ego. And you can just say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me now. I have placed my trust in the ego. I'm so glad that it's not possible for me to do that and feel good. Thank you for showing me the way. I am willing to let all this go. You heal it. You know the way. Please show me. Now, one of the most helpful things in terms of opening our intuition and opening our mind to live by faith, to consistently place our trust in Spirit, is that when we're judging, when we're complaining, when we're criticizing, when we're attached to the ego perspective and point of view, all opinions and judgments, when we are attached to those, we're closing the channel to inspiration and guidance. And if we're closing the channel to inspiration and guidance, to intuition, then are we going to be willing to trust what we can't hear, what we can't feel, what we can't sense? No, we're not. So this is really key to our developing the faith to make leaps in our life, is we've got to stop the judging, the complaining, the criticizing, so that we can hear more clearly, feel more clearly, see more clearly, know more clearly what the guidance of the Holy Spirit is in order to place our trust in it. So this is fundamental to our being willing to have the trust to make the more loving choices, to place our faith in God, that we are being divinely guided and led, and to know the difference between intuition and the guidance of Spirit and the ego. Now, I've talked a lot about, not in this series, but in other places, and I just want to remind you that if you find that you're resonating with what I'm sharing and the way that I'm sharing it, there are ways that you can join with me. So the freeway is to the highway, the freeway is to subscribe to the podcast for my radio show. And we've got like 310 episodes or whatever it is now. And you can go to livingacourseinmiracles.com/radio to get access to all those episodes, plus the transcripts of them. How cool is that? And just listening to guidance here. So, because you can literally get hundreds of hours, and they're all free for you. And that's my radio show. And then if you're interested in really doing homework and having workbooks and being in class with other people and having prayer partners and support groups and all those different kinds of things, then you might be interested in my Finding Freedom Boot Camp that I'll be talking about tomorrow. And that you can actually, if you go to jenniferhadley.com, and to the events page, or you might see something on the home page or the blog page or something like that about my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp. It's my Course in Miracles spiritual boot camp class to really jumpstart you with these principles. Finding freedom might be the thing for you, and you can do an exploratory call to see if it's right for you at this time, and you can talk with people who've already done the class and who can just answer your questions, whatever they are. There, I'll just tell you though, the people who do the exploratory calls are in my spiritual counseling training program. So they're not salespeople. They're being trained to do spiritual counseling. Finding Freedom Boot Camp class is part of their requirement. So they've done the class and they can just answer your questions about that class. Or about probably about other classes I teach as well. And that's a free service if anybody wants to do that. And then the other thing is my year-long Master for Living class that starts again in January. So we have registration open till it'll start in later October, and it'll go to early January for registration. So developing this recognition of the ego versus spirit in terms of intuition and guidance, it's pretty simple. It's not hard to know the difference. You just have to really be interested in knowing the difference. So the spirit's voice is that still small voice. For me, I experience it as a feeling. I experience it as a thought sometimes. I experience it just as, huh, I know this to be true. How do I know? I just know. Just know. It's like I offered to go to the grocery store for a friend who wasn't feeling well, and I had cooked some food for them, and I said, before I bring the food over, is there anything else I can bring you? Anything from the grocery store or anything like that? And they said, oh yeah, could you get some salad greens at the grocery store? So I said, sure. And when I went to the grocery store, as I was walking through the store getting the salad greens, I got a very strong intuition, bring them some apple cider. So I got the apple cider and the other things. And when I went to their house, how did I get that intuition? It's just like the apple cider was like, it called me. It stopped me. I saw it. I noticed it. And it was so evident to me. I just paused for a moment. Am I being led to get apple cider for my friend? Yes. Should I get a gallon or a half gallon? And I got, get a half gallon. She doesn't have room in her fridge for a gallon. So that's what I did. And so then when I dropped the food off to my friend, I said, I also got you some apple cider. I don't know if you'd like that. And my friend said, oh, you listened to your intuition, didn't you? I said, I did. She said, yeah, I sent you a message by intuition. So there you go. And how was it that I knew? Did I hear a voice? I did not hear a voice. It was just a sense. It's a still small voice. It comes to us in different ways, different people, different ways. Some people are very visual. Some people are very sensory. Some people, it comes through thoughts. And for me, it comes through all these different avenues. And it's about training yourself to recognize. How do you train yourself to be aware of intuition? It's because you value it, because you trust it, because you act upon it, and then you prove, oh yeah, that was the thing to do. So egos, what often gets confused for ego intuition is it's actually very clearly recognizable as ego to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. So for instance, ego's guidance is often, you better do this, you should do that. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, it's negative, it's frightening, it's shaming, it's blaming, it's aggressive, it has attitude, it has opinion, it has criticism, it has judgment in it. And that's how you know it's not the voice of spirit. It has needing and grasping and wanting. It has fantasy in it. And that was one of the things that I got listening to Tama was fantasy and vision are very different things. In fantasy, it's like in A Course in Miracles, it tells us that the body is the hero in the dream of illusion and separation. The body is the hero in the dream of lack and limitation. So in our fantasies, we're always visualizing ourselves experiencing something. And it's in fantasy, it's celebrating the ego. It's not about being in tune with love. It's usually about getting something or having something, some grasping, needing, wanting fulfilled. That's fantasy. Vision is usually about sharing something, being something, giving something in a way that doesn't make us feel better about ourselves. It makes us feel true to ourselves and to all beings. So, fantasy, what is it that you're fantasizing that you'd like, and why does that fantasy appeal to you? What's the point of the fantasy? Or what are you getting in the fantasy? And for me, I really learned that fantasy is like a drug. It's intoxicating and it has a hangover. So I've worked with many people who fantasize about being successful or being wealthy or something like that. And then when the fantasy is over, they're not there and they feel badly about themselves. But when there's a vision, like the vision I had, that came from spirit so clearly to me about doing the Living A Course in Miracles series. I had a vision that came to me in meditation back in at the end of 2010, and I felt in the vision how many people would be served and benefited. And I felt that it would be enjoyable for me to do. And I can tell you, going back to 2008, I had the vision of doing Finding Freedom at my spiritual boot camp class and how it would bring benefit to people and how it would be fulfilling for me to share what I was learning and to support people in what I was learning and helping them to do it themselves. And when I got the vision of my year-long Masterful Living course and how helpful it would be to people, I actually felt like, oh, I don't want to teach a year-long course. Good Lord, I don't want to make that kind of commitment. I need to be more free. I can't commit to hold the space for a whole group of people for an entire year. That just feels too much. And I just, my intuition gave me such clarity that I would love it. And that Spirit would show me how to do it and how to hold it. And I really got, I don't have to know everything there is to know about it. And the same thing with Finding Freedom, the same thing with Living A Course in Miracles, the same thing with my counseling career, and everything that I have done, Spirit gives me the feeling of how much benefit it would bring to everyone involved. And then I've learned to trust that what I need will be given to me as I need it. And to follow the steps as they're given to me, that I won't know everything there is to know until I need to know it. So in a sense, it's like Spirit works on a need-to-know basis. And it is, we have to learn to trust that. Again, back to trust. Having faith requires trust in our human experience. That's how we develop an awareness of that inner knowing, which is our faith. So I talk about it as our practice of trust is how we prove God and remember the truth that sets us free. And in our life, there are many times when we're experiencing things that are deeply, intensely difficult and challenging. Sometimes it can be so challenging just to be kind to ourselves. Sometimes it can be so intensely challenging just not to go get drunk or to not self-medicate in some other way. Sometimes it can be so difficult to just resist having sex with someone that feels so horrible afterwards. There's just such a needing, wanting, craving that the ego has that it feels so much easier to just submit to the needing, wanting, craving than it does to partner up with the Spirit to make that leap of faith that if I take a pass on the self-medication and give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit, I'll be led out of the craving. It used to feel to me so much easier to just give in to the craving and then I'll deal with the hangover. The craving is worse than the hangover. But then when you're in the hangover, no, it's not worse than the craving. Feeling terrible about myself, feeling ashamed, feeling spiritually stupid. All these things that I've felt so many thousands of times were much more difficult than the craving, but I had to learn to trust in order to prove God and prove the truth in my life. Now, one of the ways to have trust and develop trust and to uncover that knowing, that faith, is to start to do things that you love. Like, make a list of the things that you really love doing, the things that really make you feel good. So for me, like, one of the things that really makes me feel good, let me take a sip of my spiritual espresso here. One of the things I enjoy most is just getting up early when the world is quiet and being quiet, making a big cup of tea or a cup of coffee and going and sitting with God and just sitting and listening. Opening my heart to God. It's one of my all-time favorite things to do. It doesn't cost anything. It's up to me. I don't need any special equipment. I need the cup of tea or coffee, but that's easily obtainable. Other things that you love to do that are simple, just simple, simple things. Sit under a tree, listen to the birds, go for a walk, pet your dog. You know, really getting clear about the things that you love to do that give you energy, that help you see and know and feel and hear more clearly and feel more worthy. Making a list of those things and practicing doing what you love. Active practice, because then what's happening is you're loving yourself enough to give yourself the things that you love. Engaging in the love vibration will help open up your heart and your mind to divine guidance and inspiration, and to be able to trust more and build that faith. And here's a homework assignment for you. Make a list also. So make a list of the things that you love. Little things, little tiny things, just tons of little tiny things that you love, where you can see that it connects you more to that development of trust, to opening your heart and mind to spirit. And then make a list of the things that you engage in that are time wasters. So all the different forms of self-medication that you can see, the things that are distracting, right? So some people, they will run all their errands so they can feel productive and successful, and that they get, what they feel is they get a bigger ego hit from doing that than from taking that time to be contemplative, to pray, to be in tune with spirit, right? So it's actually self-medication, self-distraction. For me, I tend to put off doing errands and things like that in favor of doing things aligned with spirit. And so I have to be more like, okay, I'm finally going to do these errands. I'm finally going to do these things, because they're so much less important to me, because I don't get any personal validation from them. I get my validation through connecting with spirit. But that wasn't always the case. So making a list of things that are time wasters, that are self-medicating and self-distracting. So, because if you have that issue of, I don't have enough time, this is really going to support you in feeling that you have that perfect amount of time for spirit. If you notice that you're going into fantasy, stop it. Wake yourself up from that and say to spirit, spirit, I don't need fantasy. All I need is you, and I have you. So I'm giving up the fantasy. I'm breaking the habits of self-medicating with fantasy. Instead, I'd rather remember the truth that the truth that sets me free. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. It's so good. Oh my gosh. And I'm so excited for our class tomorrow. I could go on and on. So I can see the clock here. It's time for me to wind us up. And tomorrow our class is Eliminating Blocks to Success. I'm very much looking forward to that. And so I'm going to just share a couple more things here, and then we're going to go to our prayer, and we'll be done. Let me just tune in and see what spirit has for me. One of the most fundamental spiritual practices that I teach in Finding Freedom and Masterful Living that people are so, so grateful for is prayer. And if you don't know it, A Course in Miracles has a whole booklet on prayer called The Song of Prayer. I encourage you to take a look at that. And I have found that prayer, I feel like prayer saved my life in many ways, because prayer is that connection with God. And it is just, for me, it's been absolutely life-changing. And it's, oh gosh, I can just see how I would go on and on and on. On. And that's really what the practice of A Course in Miracles is. It's being so prayerful. It's the practice of doing the workbook is so prayerful. And I really think that that's why I was led and guided to do my Finding Freedom class and to do my Masterful Living course, so that people will really do the practices of A Course in Miracles. Because reading the lessons is not doing the lessons. It's not. So, yeah. That's why this series is called Living A Course in Miracles. Because reading the lessons is not going to change your life. But those lessons are so prayerful. And prayer is that communion with God. And that communion with God, just like being with somebody who's very loving and very kind and very gentle and funny and smart and radiant and luminous and light-filled. And being able to spend time with someone like that is deeply healing and nourishing. That's what living the lessons is, doing the lessons, really working that workbook is. And I think that's why this is what my whole ministry is about, is really the practical application and doing it with like-minded others. Oh, very briefly, I'll invite you to go to the events page at jenniferhadley.com. I have a number of retreats and things coming up. Forgive and Be Free, a whole weekend of deep forgiveness. It's so liberating. That's the middle of October. Then I have my week-long spiritual counseling training intensive, which is open to everyone, very deeply healing. And then I have my New Year's reboot retreat at the end of the year. So these are some in-person opportunities to do the deep healing, transformative work with me. Really jumpstart yourself. We have payment plans for everything. So if it calls to you, if the Holy Spirit is tap, tap, tapping you, we'll really do everything we can to support you if you're ready to do the work. We have a lot of fun at these retreats, and we do a lot of deep clearing. It's much easier to be courageous and have the strength to look at the darkness and to let it go when we're doing it together, and we can laugh together too. So that's open. These things are open to everyone. All right, I'm going to speak this word of prayer. I invite you to place your hand on your heart with me. So grateful, so thankful that we're developing the trust and having the faith to make a leap on the wings of the Holy Spirit, to fly on the wings of the Holy Spirit. So breathing in the love, breathing in the gratitude, we are so grateful and so full of thanksgiving. So amazingly full of love in our hearts, in our minds, for the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. So grateful. The fullness of God's love is awakened alive in us, and we are grateful that this is so. So grateful that we are of God now and forevermore, and that everything has been given to us. Grateful and thankful to consciously attune to the Holy Spirit and to make a holy offering of all the blocks to love. So grateful and thankful to be willing to live the love, to walk the talk, and to leave the past behind forever. So grateful and thankful to open ourselves to the healing in our mind. So grateful and so thankful to say yes. So grateful and thankful that Spirit lives in our mind now and forevermore. Everything we need is being given to us at all times. In gratitude, we let it be. In gratitude, we know it's done. In gratitude, we share the benefits with everyone. And so it is. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you. I cannot wait for more tomorrow. Mwah! This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.